The hunt for communists dominated American thinking in the 1950s, but it did not exist alone. It was matched by another concerted effort to restore American patriotism and civic activism. Here to explain how the two were linked is historian Richard Fried, professor of history at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Professor Fried is the author of Nightmare in Red, McCarthyism in Perspective, and, most recently, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, Pageantry and Patriotism in Cold War America.
While America's dread of communism was growing, another broader trend emerged alongside it, a vast effort to promote patriotism and civic activism. Leaders, both national and local, feared that Americans had become too selfish, apathetic, and privatist for the nation's good in the long Cold War struggle. Many business and government elites looked nostalgically to the now vanished commitment and solidarity Americans had shared in the late war, and they deplored the post-war letdown. President Truman, his Attorney General Tom Clark, other politicians, educators, and moguls of Madison Avenue decried a rise in crime and juvenile delinquency, a reluctance to vote or perform jury service, and signs of individual and group selfishness. These rather conservative values were not just found on the right of the political spectrum. Some Cassandras prescribed remedies for civic laxity. Tom Clark persuaded a blue ribbon group of national leaders to sponsor the Freedom Train in 1947. This train carried historic documents to 325 cities, each of which held exercises aimed at making people more aware of their civic duties. The calendar was patriotized, too. The veterans of foreign wars countered the left's May Day demonstrations with Loyalty Day, whose parades were an annual Cold War observance from 1948 on. In 1949, Congress voted to proclaim Flag Day every year. Armed Forces Day debuted in 1950. Patrioteers also strove to remind Americans frequently of the nation's call on their allegiance. In the 50s, service clubs and other groups worked to make sure every school had a flag or a recording of the national anthem, and that the anthem was sung and the flag saluted at athletic events. In 1955, yielding to the American Legion, the National Football League even changed the prescribed referee's signal for unnecessary roughness. Legionnaires teaching flag protocol in the schools had run into a snag. When they snapped off a flag salute, some youngsters confused it with roughing the passer. While some of these efforts bore fruit, their sponsors sensed a battle unending against lax citizenship and patriotism, lectured that they must defend their birthright, which was frequently defined as prosperity and freedom to select among life's bountiful options. Americans often elected those options rather than attend patriotic and civic exercises. Ironically, what we were defending made defense more difficult. Prosperity partly undermined the American way, as it may also have dulled the fervor on which McCarthy depended. While capitalism's cornucopia has been credited with subverting Soviet communism, behind the gates of the free world, it was at least mildly subversive as well.
You've been listening to Richard Fried, professor of history at the University of Illinois at Chicago.